Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Misty. This is going to be a little bit different today. So I've started this new podcast series, and I'm not sure if I'm going to call it stories from the past or survivor stories from myself or what I'm going to call it yet. But this is going to be kind of like a new series for me. So first off, if you're with an abuser, do not listen to this podcast. Hang up, guys. Do not put yourself in danger. And I really hope that you get a safety plan in order if you're still in an abusive relationship and you see the red flags and those signs and all of those things. And also reach out to your local crisis lines in your state, in your city, in your area for assistance, immediate assistance. If you're just someone who is, you know, you don't know if you're going through abuse and you would just like to talk to someone, maybe an advocate, and you don't know your crisis line numbers, you can also reach out to the National Domestic Violence Hotline number. I'll get it right in a minute. That number is 1-800-799-7233. As you all know, this podcast is unedited, so I will not be editing anything that I say out of the podcast, even this mess up, even these little bit of mess ups, because, well, I just kind of figure it like this. We're all human. We make mistakes. We have faults in our lives. So why not be authentic and why not be just raw and real? So that's what today is about. It's just, excuse me, raw and real. Hi, again, my name is Misty, and this is part of my story. When I was 18 years old, I met this guy. He was just like every other guy. I mean, he was this older guy. I mean, he was like 24 years old. My mother was not ever going to say it's okay for you to date this fella. When I first met him, I never thought that he was that great looking. There was no attraction there, really. But I had grew up whenever I was a young girl without a father figure in my life. My dad was killed when I was just a baby. So I never really had that father figure. And I do believe now, looking back on it, that that's what I was in search for. Maybe that was why, you know, when he did show me some attention and affection, I kind of, you know, gravitated to that this person. So that's one of the things that I think led me, you know, in this toxic relationship. So I was 18, he was 24, and we had, I had gotten pregnant, and then the relationship started. Of course, my mother never approved, but since there was a child involved, she was going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt and actually give him a chance. So I'm going to tell you a story of one time when I was going through this abuse. So I did marry this man when I was eight. I turned 18. Let's see, I was 17 when I met him. I got pregnant when I was 17 years old. I got married to him 2 months after I had my child. And we lived in an apartment, which is not too far from where I do the job that I do today. And I worked as a CNA. I got my certified nursing assistant license or certification when I was just 18. And I worked at a nursing home taking care of the elderly. And one night in that apartment, it was like late in the evening, and he wanted me to cook supper. So I told him I would cook, you know, he had hamburger helper and some hamburger meat laid out on the counter, and I started cooking hamburger helper. And as I stood there cooking this hamburger helper, he randomly just walked up behind me and balled his fist up and hit me in the back of the head. And I can remember falling to the floor, and I was holding the back of my head, and I started crying, and I started asking him, why did you just hit me in the back of the head? And his response was, is you was not cooking the hamburger helper the right way. So, later on that evening, and I don't remember what transpired after that, because I kind of went into like this, you know, this fight for your life mode, where I kind of blacked out a little bit. So I don't really remember between that time and the time right before it started getting dark at night. So all I do remember is sitting on a couch in this small apartment. And then the small apartment had a fireplace. And there was a, you know, fire poker there, you know, and a, you know, this little thing, you know, where you clean the fireplace out and such. And this was like an old Victorian style home. And so that what they done was, is the people who owned this place, and it was a house, they took their rooms and they made it into apartments back then. And so each individual room had apartment, it had been made into apartments. And so anyways, don't want to get off the subject, but I was sitting on the couch and he was standing at the mantle in the fireplace. And I can remember he picked the fire poker up and he said, I'm going to kill you with this fire poker. I'm going to chop you up into small pieces and I'm going to bury your body under this house, under these apartments, because no one will ever miss you. You will never be missed. No one will ever look for you, and I will get away with it. So I can remember all night long, like it, what seemed like forever. One night seemed like two or three nights glued into one, because the time just seemed to sit still at this moment. And I can remember just, I was like in a ball, you know, just kind of like, and he was like, I was in a ball sitting on a couch, if you can imagine. And he was like sitting in front of me and the lights were off. And he had a lighter and he would flick the lighter like close to my face and say, are you asleep, B-I-T-C-H? You told me the B word. Because if you go to sleep tonight, I'm killing you. You're going to die. I'm going to either burn you up, I'm going to chop you up. Either way, you're going to die. And he was holding the fire poker in one hand and the lighter in the next. And I had to get up that morning at 6 o'clock. And so, mind you, this is like 1 in the morning. And at 6 o'clock, I was going to have to go get up from the couch, go get a shower, or, well, probably 5 o'clock, get a bath, get dressed, and then walk down the road a good little piece to the nursing home and start my shift, my first shift job at the nursing home. And so I can remember in my mind just thinking, I'm here with the devil. Like, this person is literally the devil. How do I get out of this situation? And why am I still here? Why am I in this situation? Why have I dealt with this? Why am I dealing with this? And those are the only things that I can remember thinking. My small child was not there when all these things were happening. So I'm grateful that she wasn't there at this time. I think my mother or his mother, somebody had her at that time. And I'm pretty sure it was his mother, because he had isolated my small child and myself so harshly from my family. We were so isolated. He was barely allowing us to see my family at all. You know, his mother could come and see us, but my family really wasn't allowed. So, and I can remember at 5 o'clock, I remember getting ready and going to work, you know, because he said, you're not going to stay out of work. You're going, you know, you're going to walk to work. And I remember walking and he said, I'm walking with you. I'm going to make sure you go and you're there at that place. And the whole entire time, he would pick up like a rock, you know, on a big, good-sized rock, you know, that would fill his hand. And he would sling it and hit me in the back of the head with it. And then he would reach up and grab just plugs out of my arms with his nails and just scratch and pull chunks of my meat. I mean, you know, just and scratch me and pinch me and this went on until I got there, and he had a cigarette and he was smoking it, and he reached over with a cigarette and he put that cigarette out of my arm and burnt me. And you know, you don't, back then, I don't, you know, it's hard for me to go back to that time because I remember these things, right? But you're being so traumatized that you don't remember every little single memory of it. You just remember you're being traumatized. You're being tortured by someone. And this is someone who you've had a child with, someone that's supposed to love you, someone that you married, someone that you gave your life to, you know, you promised for the rest of your life to love and to cherish. And it's so difficult to just conjure up every little single moment in this, you know, in that area, but in that time frame. But I can remember once I got to the nursing home and I went through the front doors, of course I was squalling, and gosh, I'm sure I just looked so traumatized and so worn out and so just petrified, really. And the boss had pulled me into her office and asked me, you know, I think she knew that I was going through domestic violence at that time. I mean, I had never even heard the word, so I didn't even know that's even what I was going through. I just knew that I was being abused by my husband, the person that I married. And she said, you need to call a family member. We'll cover for you if he comes here. And see, he had threatened me. He said that, you know, he was going to watch me all day at work. If I was to leave my job, he was going to follow me around from room to room, and he was going to kill me. He was going to do this. He was going to do that. So I was just terrified to stay there. And I can remember that my boss allowed me to leave work, and she said, you know, go out the back door. Call your family members, whoever you need to call. And I had, of course, called my grandmother. She always was there for me and was always there to rescue me. So I left with her that day. And what's so bad, and I felt so, like, to even say this, even on my podcast, and, you know, as the person I am today and the work that I do to help women, I know that victims go back 7 times before they leave their abusers. It's statistically been proven. So this is what happens. And if I'm not mistaken, I wind up going back. I think that I went back one more time and then left after that. I think this was like right after I went back to him was like, I don't remember what happened. I don't remember after that, but I was so scared because he had threatened to kill my family. You know, he'd oftentimes threatened to burn them up in their house, and I didn't know what to do. I really didn't. At that time, the police had been called in a previous time when I was being abused, and, you know, not putting law officers down at all, but, you know, the law officer that came out, I'd never, you know, touched my abuser, but he threatened to put me in jail as well. And so I didn't trust the police. I didn't trust law enforcement. I didn't think that they were there for me. And, you know, I didn't think that I had a friend in them. And so that's why I never called. And I was also afraid because I got told, you know, if law enforcement pulls up, I'll just kill them too. So I didn't want no one to die. You know, and that was also a threat that he always made. You know, he would take out law enforcement if they were ever called into the situation, or, you know, he would kill me and then kill himself, or he'd kill everybody and then kill me and himself. So, you know, I think about these stories you know, and I don't talk a whole lot about my stories. I think I have shared, I shared our story, you know, several podcasts back about something, but because one day I'm going to revisit these places. This is kind of like something that's in the works, hopefully this year, but you know, I'm going to relive every spot where I was traumatized and where I was tortured, because I think that it's important for me, and some people are not able to do that, but I want to be able to feel these things, because after I left the abuse, I did not feel for many years, okay? I turned my feelings off, and that really messed up my healing process throughout the years. So I didn't really start to heal until on into my 30s. And, you know, it's a journey for every single person, and a healing journey is different for everyone. So what's good for one person may not be good for the next. So, you know, my healing process may not be, or may not be the right healing process for someone else. We all heal differently. So, you know, whatever that may look like for some people may look something different for someone else. But I just decided to come on and do this solo podcast today, because I think that it's very important for people to realize that you're not by yourselves. You're not alone. Your story is important, and it doesn't matter if you didn't go through physical abuse and you went through mental abuse or narcissistic abuse, you know, or manipulation, all of these things. Your story is your story, and you know, it's important, and your voice is important. Never forget how important your voice is, because it makes you unique. Your voice being heard is important. Your story, your situation, your life is important. Never forget those things, because when times are hard and you think and say you're healing, you're in the middle of healing and your confidence has been shaken. Never forget how important and how much you are worth. Never forget your self-worth. And sometimes it's funny because I've had people say, well, you're just so strong and, you know, you can overcome these things and you can do this. But hey, I'm only human. Everyone goes through moments. We all have moments in our lives. But I hope that this podcast today, you know, help someone out there that's listening. And you know, it's not hard for me to be real. It's not hard for me to be authentic, but that's exactly who I am. I'm very real and authentic. And if this story resonates with you, if this one story from 3 to 4 years of really hard abuse, you know, there's more to this story than just this one isolated incident. But this is a tremendous incident, something that happened that was very traumatic, that, you know, I even blocked out for a few years and didn't even relive, you know. But I think that it was important for me to go back and relive this time. And I have relived it before, and I had thought about writing about it, you know, and doing a memoir and talking about the isolated incidents that were so horrible that I was able to overcome. But you know, that's the reason why we have to continue to talk about these things, is so we can bring awareness, and that people can be aware that things like this happen with a non-judgmental mindset, because this could be one of your family members. This could be your daughter, your niece, your cousin, your mama, your sister. Never say never. Never say, oh, my daughter or my niece or my cousin would never do this. She would never deal with this. She would never put up with this. Because you don't ever know what can happen. And love bombing. See, I was very much love bombed when I got with this person. He was this totally awesome guy, you know. and you think you know someone, but you sometimes you really don't know this person. You don't know what's to come. You know, there were several red flags, but I was just a kid, so I didn't, you know, even if I hadn't been a kid, I went through another, you know, situation in my 20s where I remarried another abusive man, but he wasn't physically abusive. He was just mentally abusive, you know, and so I think that we're just all humans and, you know, have some grace for people out here in this world. It's always good to try to put yourself in someone else's shoes and walk in their shoes for a minute. There's nothing wrong with doing that, you know. But I don't even know what I'm going to call this episode. This was just a spur of the moment, spontaneous episode. So, you know what? I really appreciate you guys for listening to me rant and just, not really rant, but just talk and just jabber, because I do get bored sometimes, and with boredom comes stuff like this. I thought, oh, well, let me jump on the podcast, because I know that there hasn't been a podcast for a few weeks, but there is one coming up this coming Sunday. So I hope you guys stay tuned and listen to that podcast, because, you know, it's important to listen to different stories. And maybe you may learn something out of someone else's story that you didn't learn out of this story. Or, you know, it may resonate with your story. But just know that your voice is important and that I appreciate you for listening. So as long as someone is listening to this podcast, we will just have to continue to talk. And we will just have to continue the work, because there's a lot of work to be done. But I really do appreciate all of you guys for listening to me personally. And I hope that you will continue to listen and put the word out. I'm a Survivor Podcast. And if you want to donate, you don't want to go straight to this website on Anchor, you can do so. I have a Cash App for the podcast. And I normally don't put that out there, you know, because, you know, I just don't. But it is Survivor Podcast. And let me go see, because I just forgot what it was. So, hold on 1 second. And let me look that up for you guys. The Cash App is $Survivor Podcast 43. So if you want to make a donation, every penny of your donation will go toward the podcast. And so I appreciate anything anyone does. If you feel led to do that, that's great. If not, that's great too. But I hope you guys have a wonderful day, and I hope that you had a wonderful Mother's Day. Yesterday was Happy Mother's Day, everybody. For all the mamas out there, I appreciate all of you for supporting the podcast over the years. It's been amazing. And I'll catch you on the next podcast, guys. Bye.